We're joined by two very special guests here this morning on Waterside Wake Up. It is our privilege and honor to have them in our midst. Chief Petty Officer in the Navy, Justin Wilson, is here. And John McDaniel, founder of Wounded Warriors in Action Foundation, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army. Gentlemen, welcome. It is great to be here with you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Wade.
Thank you.
Justin, last time we talked with you, you were talking just a moment ago about how, hey, I don't need headphones this time. Update us on your condition. Last time we talked to you, you weren't able to hear very well, so you had those headphones on. Things have progressed nicely from what I understand.
Yep, things have progressed a little bit better. I've had that first surgery and got hearing aids now. But unfortunately, that surgery actually did not pass, and I'm going to be going in surgery again the end of May to hopefully get some more hearing back and get my ears fixed.
How many surgeries have you have had through this whole process?
Seven total.
Seven. Wow. That's a lot of surgeries. Of course, some probably have many more surgeries than that.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a little bit. Justin is here along with John McDaniel. And Justin, tell us a little bit about how you got connected to Wounded Warriors after being wounded in Afghanistan.
When I got home, I don't know, I was just surfing the internet one night, going through the Military Order of the Purple Heart kind of things, and I found this website about hunting and Wounded Warriors and Action Purple Hearts and whatnot. So I looked at it, and oh, cool, they got a gator hunt. Well, I've never gator hunted before, so I checked the box for gator hunt, and lo and behold, next September, I get a phone call from John. He says, hey, do you think you can get on a plane and get to Florida and be here in 5 days? I was like, can I let you know in 15 minutes? I asked the proper chain of command, and they all graced it, and I jumped on a plane, and I met John there and shot a big gator, and we got to talking, and I got to learning a little bit about the organization. I thought, you know, this is the kind of stuff I like to do, and I want to get behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw validity in it, and I pursued it after that, and here we sit today.
John, tell us a little bit about the organization, when it was founded, how did it get started, and a little bit more about it.
Sure. Well, I did a 20-year career in the Army, and as I was getting ready to retire, I figured, well, you've heard people say, figure out what you're passionate about and figure out how to make a career out of it or make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote some things down on a piece of paper that I was passionate about: this country, our heroes that get wounded serving her, and hunting and fishing, and I combined them. And that's what I started taking guys out of the James A. Haley Polytrauma Center in Tampa out fishing, and I saw that it was making a difference, not only in them, but in myself as well, and being able to help them recover from their war wounds. And then I had a little piece of property up in Wisconsin. I started taking him hunting up there. And then we launched the website, and sportsmen across the country and heroes have said that they wanted to help. So here we are 7 years later, and that we have 52 operations this year in 35 different states, and we'll serve 220 Purple Hearts.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's grown considerably, but it's all because of great people like Justin and his friends and family and the extended community who've embraced really the work that we do.
When you started that idea, did you ever dream it would grow into something like this?
I really had no idea. I hoped, mm-hmm, like anybody else probably would, that their idea would gain traction, but I didn't know that it would be doing what it is today.
From what I understand with the emails that Justin sent me and talking with him over the phone, this can be very therapeutic, and you talked about journals, I think, is something that has been very important. In fact, Justin has a journal right here. Maybe chat about that idea and how that helps these folks that you are working with.
Sure. We'll let Willie here read from it, because there's some excerpts I think he wants to highlight here. But this is our second journal. The first one is full.
Wow.
It sits in it's in our library, if you will, in the foundation's library. But I thought it was important to at least tell the heroes. You know, we say we don't ask much from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an all expense paid trip. You're here to relax. You're here to enjoy the camaraderie and fellowship, and the great outdoors and the great people that are helping make this happen. We're only going to ask one thing, and that's that you scribble something in this journal,
mm-hmm,
about your experience. And so 100% of them have done so.
Mm-hmm.
And on our website, if you go to the our website is wwiaf.org or woundedwarriorsinaction.org, and there's a link on there for testimonials, and that's where they come from. They come from these journals, and so you know, really, that's it. I think Willie might want to. A couple of the heroes that we just served have written things in here. I don't know what it, I haven't read them yet. They
really?
Just wrote them here.
Oh wow!
And as I'm getting ready to read these, I'm already getting goosebumps. Just the power behind them. Frank from Oklahoma writes: "This event meant the world to me. I laughed, relaxed, and met great people. I feel like I did before, meaning and purpose. This event saved my life. It gave me a chance to get back what I thought I had lost. God bless the WWIA."
Powerful, very powerful.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, it just gave it gives me goosebumps. I have a hard time reading them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise, it's, you know, but because they're usually so impactful. But Frank said to me last night, and here's a hero who served the Marine Corps when he was younger in his life, and then went back and joined the Army Reserve. So, you know, both service branches.
Mm-hmm.
And was wounded at 40. Okay, mm-hmm. So went back and got wounded at 40. After having already served his Corps. And a lot of these heroes, they are on medication. Mm-hmm. The VA gives them meds for mm-hmm. things that are physical and things that are, you know, emotional and perhaps even, you know, mental things. But he said to me last night, he said, you know, I haven't taken any of my meds since Friday. And he goes, I feel great. You know, and that's pretty big.
Yeah.
I mean, that's big juju.
When someone says, this was a great event, it saved my life, I mean, how can you even put that in perspective? I mean, that is beyond powerful. I mean, it's interesting to me because these folks that you're working with are ones that saved many lives. And, of course, exactly, Mr. Wilson right here to my left is one of those. And now, through this, somebody saying, wow, thank you so much, that saved my life. It's just crazy how it all interconnects.
Yeah, it really is. I don't profess to know. We at Cornell University grabbed a hold of what we were doing a few years back, and they have a fully funded study. And they have a PhD doctor that runs around periodically and checks on the foundation and personally observes and does interviews with the heroes that we have served. And I can't describe in a clinical way what he can.
Mm-hmm.
But they have fancy words and descriptors for what it is. But, you know, I just simply call it a magic. I don't know how else to describe what it is. But, mm-hmm. you know, you just heard what Frank had to say about it. I don't know how you measure that.
How do you quantify it? We're talking to Chief Petty Officer in the Navy, Justin Wilson, Cocker City Zone, and John McDaniel, the founder of Wounded Warriors in Action Foundation, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army, and you can visit that website, as John mentioned again, woundedwarriorsinaction.org. I've got pulled up here on my computer to my right. Justin, I think you have a few more that you wanted to share from this journal.
Well, yeah, I'll read just another brief one from Travis, our other hero from Nebraska. He says, I came to Cocker City not knowing anyone. I'm leaving this town feeling like family. The experience I had has been amazing. The things that Wounded Warriors in Action does on a daily basis prove that a lot of people care about their country's wounded warriors. Thanks for the amazing experience, Travis. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I could go back through this entire book and all the other ones on the website on the testimonials page, and mm-hmm. you read those and they give you goosebumps. You may cry a little mm-hmm. or whatever, but you know, like you were saying, sometimes it's that saying hi to everybody on the street. Because mm-hmm. you never know when that one hi
yeah.
may stop that person from going home and doing something that mm-hmm. day. Or it just may lighten their life to do something better. And I feel like we can reach out and we can help people out that have, you know, you don't know what's going inside of their head.
No.
And, you know, showing by doing is what it's all about, mm-hmm. you know. Some people talk the talk, and we walk the walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a fair amount of leadership. I mean, it doesn't get mentioned a whole lot here, but that's what it is. This is an organization predominantly where veterans are leading veterans in a non-standard way to help them reintegrate into our society, to say thank you for what you did, to acknowledge and pay tribute to the service and the sacrifice that they've all made. And it's really quite amazing when you see that. And what's really cool is you look at a guy like Justin here, you know, who's still serving. He's on active duty today.
Right.
He, you know, he is a combat medic who's probably saved countless lives on the battlefield. And here he comes back to his hometown, you know, a beautiful and wonderful small place in the heartland of America to also help his fellow brothers.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to describe, you know, what that is. But I said the other day, Justin has what I think I have. I suffer from the same thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a servant's heart, you know.
Right.
And that's what the service is all about, right? People raise their right hand and swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the orders of the officers appointed over them. That's a service mentality. But here, you know, here he's giving at a different level.
Right.
And it's very, very powerful. And we see that not infrequently across the country now where heroes, and that's part of our program now. I mean, this thing was not designed to, you know, to be what I call the Johnny John show, running around the country, you know, leading these opportunities. I just can't do it all. And so now we have heroes like Justin and several others who are actually taking over the responsibility and the authority for the conduct of our operations across the country. So that's the way ahead for the foundation.
It's fantastic. Let's go back just a bit for those that are tuning in, whether at the beginning of our interview or in the middle of the interview. We're talking Chief Petty Officer in the Navy, Justin Wilson, Cocker City Zone, and John McDaniel, founder of Wounded Warriors in Action Foundation, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army. Briefly, tell each of your stories of why you decided to serve your country. Start with you.
You know, I guess, when I was in school, high school in particular, I was, I played a lot of sports. I was very involved in athletics and found that I had something inside of me, to call it a need to lead, if you will. And when I got in college, I just, you know, became interested in this idea of what can I do, you know, to sort of to serve this country and employ that desire and capability. And then, you know, the Army for me was a bit of a calling. I found out that there was such a thing as an airborne ranger, and I said, that's what I want to be. And here we are 25 years later.
Wow. Justin, you want to share yours?
Yeah, I was standing next to an operating room table down in Hutchinson Hospital when I was working in surgery, and somebody came in and said, a plane just ran into a building. I'm like, what? So in between my cases, I went out into the lobby where all the families waiting for their family members in surgery were hanging out, and I see everybody gathered around TVs, and I go up there and watch, and I just happened to be there when the second one hit. And I just walked back in, just like somebody punched me in the stomach, and I was just, if I could say, I was just ticked off. And I got to thinking, you know, I'm 24, almost 25 years old, and I can still run fairly fast. I can I go out and carry heavy weight up and down the river duck hunting and get up at odd hours in the morning and freeze my butt off to go out and get a couple ducks. Or, you know, I thought, you know, people get paid to do this. So I went down to the Marine recruiter and told him I wanted to be a Marine, and they said, no, you need to be a corpsman. And I remember my brother John talking about corpsman, and he was a Marine, and I was like, well, okay, but I want to be with Marines. They're like, cool, corpsman can be with Marines. So I went that route and found out about recon and special forces and said, boy, that sounds like what I like to do. I like to be completely miserable, and misery loves company. So I found seven of my, you know, best buddies on a team, and we just go out and we get miserable. And that's how I got to where I am. And that, you know, it's the decision that's, you know, I think has probably saved my life. It's really accelerated me. And like I said, and it all comes down to, you know, just what I came from right. People back here.
You know, there's something about the pursuit of the difficult, and not everybody can do what guys like Willie do.
That's right.
And it's a bit of a calling for him.
Well, but all of this too is really good with the healing experiences you talked about earlier, and with the events. And I'm curious of Justin's experience with the gator hunt, because you were very excited about that, and yet you probably didn't know exactly what it was going to be about at all. And once you did, you're like, wow, this is awesome. And then you probably wrote in a journal, just like everybody else has with these events. Give your personal experience of why it meant so much to you when you went for that gator hunt.
Well, I guess like you said, the pursuit of the dangerous and the pursuit of the difficult. If they'd have told me I was going to be pursuing, you know, dinosaurs with primitive weapons, hucking spears at them. And
that's what we do. He's right.
You know, I didn't know what to expect. Yeah. I was going to try it with a bow and arrow. I ended up doing it with a crossbow. And but, you know, it's just one of those things you've never done before. And when you do it, and you're there experiencing it. And the way we do it is we go out right at dusk because they're out all night. But I guess trying to breed or something. It was in September. Mm-hmm. But you're sitting there and you see this beautiful sunset and the water is just glass and you see these logs out there and those are the gators and you're just looking at them all and it's just so peaceful and so serene and it's kind of like sitting in your harbor side or something. Harbor side's where when we're on a patrol or something we bed down for the night, or actually it would be the day because we usually move at night. But when you're getting into your harbor side and the earth and everything is still and we do what's called sills, you sit, look, listen, and smell for if there's an enemy approaching or something like that. It's a very surreal, out-of-body moment where everything just stops. The world just stops, and it pauses.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives you a chance to reflect, and you're like, I'm not getting shot at right now.
Yeah.
Things aren't blowing up around me,
right.
And I'm having a good time. And you can experience that and say, wow, you know, this is a... God put all this here for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a moment that you can really reach back and think, and you got your friends there to your left and your right that, you know, they want to be there. They volunteer to be there. You can't tell them to be there.
Right.
So whether it's us helping somebody out on a hunt, no, it's all volunteer basis. Nobody has a contract and says, you will be here and you will do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's if you want to be here and if you want to do this, well, hop on board. So,
John, how do you put this organization together? How do you decide in regards to... There's probably word of mouth, website, people talk about this, and you know, we're talking about it today on the radio. And then how does it get paid for? Because obviously it would take money to do these things.
Right. Well, we have relied a great deal on the word of mouth and the website, as you mentioned. We don't do any advertising. Advertising costs money.
Right.
So, I know a lot of organizations pour millions into advertising and TV, but we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Those monies go directly to the heroes and to develop operations. It does take a lot of money. I mean, it costs us, we figure it out, you know, it's about $1,850 per hero that we serve. And each event costs roughly about $6,000 to pull off. That's, you know, airfare. And Willie was in California and we flew him to Florida to go alligator hunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could just concentrate on bringing guys, heroes that are close to the event site.
Right.
But if you live in Florida hunting alligators, if you grew up there hunting alligators, isn't that big of a deal.
Right.
But if you live in California or Kansas,
yeah,
going, you know, to Florida to get on an airboat, run around a swamp at night,
yeah,
and harvest alligators with primitive weapons, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, they don't have that at Wakanda.
Yeah, you don't have that here. So really, that's what the foundation is all about, is providing these opportunities that they would otherwise never have. And you asked about the funding. Well, for the, you know, really, to be honest, you know, for the first couple, 3 years, it was a private operating foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I was fortunate in business after I got out of the military and had the resource to be able to do this and not ask for help. But as the foundation grew and the opportunities did, of course we needed support. The government can't do what we're doing.
Right.
Okay, and they don't provide the money for it. But what they do provide is an opportunity for federal service members, both uniform and non-uniform members, to give through a workplace campaign, a charity drive, mm-hmm, called the Combined Federal Campaign.
CFC.
And that campaign has done well for us. And that's helped in a big way help fund these operations. But we still fall short. So we have to go for grants and we have to ask. Well, we don't even ask because I don't even like to ask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a hard time asking for help, and I know that's really odd when you're in charge of a nonprofit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like in this case, this is the first here in Kansas, okay, in Cawker City, first time in the history of the organization where I showed up. We delivered heroes, we executed an event, and somebody handed us a check that not only paid for the entire event, but put us in the black by a considerable amount. Wow. First time ever.
That's
awesome. I mean, it's huge. It's awesome. You know, I was presented a check for $3,600 the other night, okay? And, you know, just, you know, an amazing gesture.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, the American Legion, again, they came up with some money, and their Ladies Auxiliary Group did too. And it's little things like that that make a really, really big difference in what we do. It helps us serve more heroes. So I want to make sure that everybody, that we thank everybody for that. And we'll circle back towards the end, hopefully, make sure we acknowledge some of the key people who helped make things happen.
Sure. Mark Fleming, he's a loyal listener to our program and our radio station. He called in. He said he raises game birds. He says he will help you any way he can. So I can give you that information when we're done with the interview, and we thank you, Mark, very much. So now, he went on a gator hunt. Now, he didn't bring you to Kansas to go gator hunting, too. If you are gator hunting here, you're not going to probably find one.
Right.
So, but he brought you to a pretty good area for hunting and fishing. Tell us how that came about. And you said, hey, Kansas, Glen Elder, Cocker City, where's that? But, yeah, that'll be great. I'll be there.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, we started, Justin, when he got off the gator hunts, you know, we had a dialogue going that, you know, we were shooting emails back and forth and calling and texting sort of thing. And so I knew kind of like immediately that this was a special guy, and that he was one of the types that you know, puts his money where his mouth is. And I knew when he said he was interested and was going to do something to make a difference, that in fact that was going to happen. And so he said, you know, my hometown is Cocker City, Kansas. I'd like to do a cast and blast turkey and fishing. And it was immediately attractive to me because we didn't have an operation in Kansas. And so it was another piece of the puzzle for the foundation, a really important piece, because this countryside here is one of the more bountiful places I've ever been. The deer hunting is awesome, the turkey, the fishing. I mean, it is a sportsman's paradise here. It really, really is. So I was very excited about it, and he did all the planning. Okay, he and his team did all the planning. For me, it was easy. The foundation's end of the bargain is we'll deliver the heroes. We'll find and deliver the heroes. And we'll also support, you know, the funding requirements to get them here for, you know, the housing, the chow, the licensing, the travel, et cetera. But they covered the whole thing, you know. So that burden was lifted from the foundation and my shoulders, and it just, you know, it's huge. And it has been amazing. We tagged out. We tagged out on turkeys. And there were not small turkeys. They were huge turkeys. And we had more than one opportunity. I mean, it was, seriously, you know. I mean, we got stories for the rest of our lives. But, you know, the hunting was tremendous. And these property owners here, God bless them, they opened up their lands because Justin and his friends and family went out and asked, hey, would it be okay if these heroes had access to your property to hunt turkey?
Yeah.
And I think every single farmer or property owner who was asked said yes, and that's amazing.
Yeah,
think about that. I mean, that's really, really amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing what people do in this area. We've seen it through various events.
Yep,
you've seen it over the years, Justin. You've seen it now, John and Mike, and I've seen it for quite some time. It's a really giving area. So, how many heroes were here or are here to do all this in our midst?
I wanted to go small for our first year. We only had two down, one from Oklahoma, one from Nebraska. And, you know, I wanted to the way I say, master the basics, you know. So I wanted to make sure that we did it, and we did it well with two. And we actually really did it with three because we did take John hunting, too. So we proved a concept of, you know, of operations that we can do this. And I think next year we could be even doing four. But the whole plan was turkey hunt in the morning, catch some crappie or walleye in the afternoon, and then go back and get on some turkeys in the evening as they're coming in. Well, as you know, Kansas weather, we had to deal with the possibility of 4 inches of snow.
Right.
We had driving rain. I think today was warmer than a couple of days already, the high of the day, which makes it really hard turkey hunting. So, in the end, being able to harvest, I think it was a total of six turkeys in the end, for everybody. It was amazing. And Travis got two. That's his. He shot one turkey in Nebraska years ago, but he got his first two Kansas turkeys ever. Frank had never been turkey hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty apparent at first. Like I said, when he was missing some shots he should have been making. But in the end, he ended up shooting a very nice bird.
Yeah.
And John shot an extremely huge bird yesterday, almost 67 points, roughly scoring it. But to be able to overcome the adverse weather that we had,
yeah,
and still have a great time. We didn't get to get out on the lake because of the white caps and everything, but
right,
had we done that, it, you know, I can't ask for a better,
yeah,
a better turnout. And like I said, the overpouring of support that we've had from the locals, and I knew it was here.
Yeah,
and like I said, that was one of my biggest reasons to want to bring people back here. Is, and then the successes of my life are directly related to where how I was raised and the people around here, and mm-hmm, I wanted to show that because all my strengths come from here. You know, mm-hmm, they say, Will, you've seen the combat, you've seen everybody, you know, dying around you. How are you still functional today? How are you so strong? And I'm like, the only thing I can say to that is, well, look at the people that raised me. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to bring those people from out of the area here and see how I was raised, and they, you see the light go on and they go, aha, I get it.
Yeah.
This is why it's called the Heartland of America, because everybody here's just huge hearts.
Absolutely.
And but yeah, this year two, next year maybe four. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah. Every event starts somewhere, and then it gets bigger and bigger,
right,
as you continue to figure it out and work on it. Yeah, you want to thank a lot of people, I know, right?
Yeah, we certainly do. You know, just let me step back for a second. When we talk about the numbers of heroes that we deliver to events, it's kind of important because it's part of our equation, what works and what doesn't work. Well, what we found over the years that keeping the group small and intimate, 3 to 5, is about the right answer, solution for us. We don't want to ever get much bigger than that. We have a couple operations where it's permissible and it makes sense to do so, to go beyond that number of 5. But 3 to 5 is a really magic number because it helps, it keeps it small, intimate. The heroes, you know, have direct contact with, you know, the leaders and you know, can make and form relationships between themselves and the people that are supporting the events. So, yeah, it's an important thing. So when, you know, Willie says, you know, next year, what warms my heart is, I see, you know, before we've even left this year, the guys are talking about what are we going to do next year.
Yeah,
Frank already,
yeah,
volunteered to come back, right, and cook meals and make beds. And
right,
do
right.
Dishes.
Well, you know, I mean, and that's in business. I don't care what you're doing.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're making widgets or you're serving heroes. Yeah. You know, you're looking for a successful, repeatable process.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, and over the years we've just refined and tweaked what we do so that it, you know, we find what's working, and we just try to repeat that process and develop long-term and enduring relationships with the people that are helping make this all possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is about. You know, Willie talks about, you know, the heartland and this wonderful community. I mean, what's Cawker City? 400?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
400 like that, people?
Yeah. Not
I mean,
big.
Think about that.
Yeah, I know. Right? I know.
I mean, you want to hear something funny? The Foundation's headquarters, my last duty assignment was at SOCOM, okay? Special Operations Command, you know, in Tampa. Huge city, wonderful city,
mm-hmm,
but we don't even have an operation there. It's like, mm-hmm, where the Foundation's headquarters is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, we don't even have an operation there. And here we come to a wonderful town like Cawker City, and you know, look at what we've accomplished. Look at what this community has accomplished,
yeah,
and they should all be very, very, you know, proud. So.
Absolutely,
and the list is long.
Yeah.
Like I said, I can't even begin to.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's hard for us to, you know, to go through and say, you know, thank you to everybody,
right,
because we'll inevitably leave somebody,
yeah,
out,
exactly,
and we don't want to do that,
right,
but. You know, I will mention a couple. You know, there's a gentleman by the name of Daryl who is a former Marine, and he's one of Willie's friends, and he's a community member here in Cawker, grew up here, and he works for a company called Fastlane. And Fastlane, he went to his employees and said, hey, this is what we're doing. And they raised like $1,800, individual donations, and then their boss matched it.
Sweet.
So, you know, we got this beautiful check that all the heroes signed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, and it just makes a tremendous difference there. So I'll tell you that, you know, one of the other individuals who made a big deal works for Sunflower. Carl Sutter, Carl. You know, he works for Sunflower, and they gave us apparel, you know. So it was cold the first couple of days, and I didn't have all the snivel gear that I needed. So it was hard to get me out of the wonderful pullover that Sunflower provided. But little things like that, you know, make a big difference. And, of course, the property owners, the American Legion, and Willie can fill in some of the blanks there. But I want to personally thank the folks in this community who helped make this happen,
mm-hmm.
in small or large part. And it's, like I said, the little things make a big difference in this space.
Yeah, exactly, John. And like I said, the only caveat I can throw on that is just saying, you know, thank you, Cocker City, Glen Elder Downs, the whole area up here in the north central Kansas. You just proved to me again that this is the best place in the best country and the best nation in the world to live. And I'm proud to have served. I'm proud to serve you guys. I'm going to keep doing it, and I'll be back.
Website, if people want to donate or learn more about the organization, how can they donate or find out more about?
Well, there's a huge amount of content and resource there on the website. And I encourage folks to get there and do some exploration, because, you know, you'll find some neat things on there, I think. But there is a place to donate. We do have a merchant account. We set one up just so that we could handle any credit card known to man.
Yes.
So you can go on there. I know people are a little leery of doing that, but I can assure you that we've got it all protected. And so if you want to make a small donation, you can do that. Or snail mail still works. You can crank out a check and send it to our headquarters there as well, and that information is on the website too. So either way works. Another way, if you know a Purple Heart recipient, you know, somebody that might be, that this program might help, you know, encourage them to go to the website. They fill out an application, and, you know, of the 50 opportunities that we have, they're all listed on our calendar. We ask the heroes to identify their top five choices, so that's what we do. We take a little bit of small information, and we validate everybody's Purple Heart. We make sure that they are who they say they are,
mm-hmm.
And it's just for the integrity of the program. And in great respect and deference to those who bled for their country. So we validate them, and then we put them in a queue, and we take the date of their application, and we look at their preferences, and then we go about matching them up. And so that's kind of our process. But folks can get involved. There's also a button on the top part of the website that says Contribute. If you click on that button, there's a drop-down menu there, and one of those is host an event. But, you know, we have a chapter here now in Kansas, and it's awesome, and that's what we call it. I mean, this is the beginning parts of a chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Willie's still got to continue to serve his country for probably another 10 years. I think, I don't know if they have a program that takes chief petty officers from their current rank to admiral,
mm-hmm.
but if there is a program like that, Willie will certainly be on it.
Mm-hmm.
The next time we see him, he might be in charge of the United States Navy, you never know. what's really cool is, you know, the minute you meet somebody, you know if you're going to click. And the minute I met Willie, I was like, That guy right there. You just need to, with a guy like Will, you just need to basically, you know, loose the tether and let him run.
Yeah.
And give him the football and just let him run.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even have to point him in the right direction.
Get out of the way and let him go.
Just get out of the way. You know, sort of thing. So that's what's happening here. And he's got a great team, you know, that's supporting him, this community.
Absolutely.
So I think I think the future looks bright for the WWIA in Kansas, and as a matter of fact, there's been people come up to me over the course of the weekend and said, I know somebody in Montana, or I can get you into Wyoming,
mm-hmm.
and you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's what happens. Mm-hmm. These events spawn mm-hmm. other events because
Absolutely.
People's lives have been touched,
yeah,
and that's part of the magic.
What's the website address again?
You can get it two ways. You can just, best way is to, you know, use one of the search engines, Google or whatever you use there, and just type in the four letters for the foundation, WWIA. Or you can go directly to the website by typing in WWIAF.org or WoundedWarriorsInAction.org.
And that's what WWIA stands for, Wounded Warriors in Action. I know I speak for Mike and everybody here at the radio station. I think for everybody that's listening right now, we are so thankful for what you both have done and served our country. And also we're thankful for you guys being involved in this organization, coming up with the organization, and now Justin helping with the organization. Because it gave me goosebumps as well, especially the couple of excerpts you read from that diary. And I can't imagine what else is in that diary in regards to everybody. And when somebody says, this event saved my life, society is so caught up in money and wanting more things and so forth and so on. You cannot put a price on that at all. And the very fact that just one person, which is probably more than one person that had that in the diary, but the fact that one person, if it was only one, it would be all worth it, would it not?
It would.
It is.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Wade.
Chief Petty Officer in the Navy, Justin Wilson, Cocker City Zone. John McDaniel, founder of the Wounded Warriors in Action Foundation, retired Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army. Our guest, our special guest today on KD Country 94 in Waterside. Wake up. In case you missed that interview, we will post it later today, hopefully, on our website at KDCountry94.com. We'll even create a link going straight to the WWIA website so you can learn more about it. Via our website, we'll put a link there for the WWIA. I got to be careful. I don't want to say WWE, WWF, or all that, but WWIA. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate
it. Awesome. Thanks, Wade.
Thank you.